Hello, welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. I'm Professor Greg Stevens, sitting in for Brother Copeland, and it has been an awesome week so far. We're having an exciting week learning about covenant partnership. I've been trying to show you partnership in a way maybe you haven't seen before. People that were in partnership, maybe they didn't know they were. Before we begin today, I want to thank Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for their years of faithfulness, 57 years of faithfulness. Amen. Glory to God. What a testimony. Preaching the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. They have been a blessing to my life. Have they been a blessing to your life?
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to pray for them today. I'm going to thank God for them. How about that? You want to join me? Will you join me? Lord, we thank you. I thank you for the gift of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I thank you for the gift that you gave to my generation to teach us faith, to show us integrity, to hold our feet to the fire where our confession is. Lord, I thank you for them. I bless you for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says amen and amen. Now, Brother Copeland instructed us that the subject of this next series of study will be on partnership, in specific, covenant partnership. So I'm honored to be here today, sitting at his desk. I tell you, I came in and I was like, ooh, nowhere near where I'm sitting. So we're going to start. We started that assignment at the beginning of this week on Monday. And here we are now going through it. I defined what a partner was. I talked about that God has elected people to partner with him and to partner with one another for things to be done. Ecclesiastes 4:9, we started with there, that the two are better than one. Amen. Because they have a good reward for their labor. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, I shared that with you as well. But let me go ahead and read that again. We then, as workers together with him, workers together with him, Paul the apostle will say, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a partnership in there. I want to show you something in that verse, if I could. Now, I'm not a Greek expert, but I do look things up. And he says, some version says co-laborers or co-partners or co-workers. That compound is a Greek compound word. Synergos is what the word is. And soon is a preposition in Greek, meaning connecting one thing to another. Ergon is a work or a task or assignment. So you could say it this way in that verse, that it's two or more that are joined or connected together for a single task. Two or more that are joined or connected together for a single task. It's a decision that you and I make to partner with the Lord, to partner with one another with him. And we saw from the very beginning that God did that with Adam. He said he needs a partner to carry out the assignment. We saw that Jesse, and this one still gets me, that Jesse's care package lunch for his sons in the army and for their officer that's in charge of them will set his son to be the king. Everything changes because of that little partnership of a lunch. And we're here today because of it. Jesus will come into the earth because of it. Isn't that something? And so whatever you've partnered and whatever you've sowed is not gone out of your life. It is continuous. It is forever before him. Amen. Amen. We saw that with Cornelius, didn't it? Your prayers and your alms, your giving have come up before me. I'll submit that we're part of that as well. Amen? Because that's the first Gentile that received the Holy Spirit. So all of his sowing, we've reaped off of that as well. And everything that you've done, should the Lord tarry, future generations will reap what you have done, should the Lord tarry his coming. So what two or more are joined together or connected together for a single task, and it's a decision you make that I'm going to partner with you with God. Now, that's been done from the very beginning. From the garden onward, that's been done. Shem, son of Noah, will partner with his brother to cover his father. Remember that?
Yes.
Shem, now here's another thing. Shem lived during the time of the Tower of Babel with Nimrod. He decided not to partner with them.
That's right. Yeah.
that'll carry him to Abraham. And Melchizedek will come. We talked about priests yesterday and a transferring of anointings with John and Jesus. Melchizedek will come and he'll partner with Abraham. Abraham will pay a tithe of all to Melchizedek. He'll partner with Melchizedek. I'm seeing a pattern. Yes. Amen. Are you guys seeing a pattern? Yes. I'm seeing a pattern. Now, let's go to another partnership that we may not have thought of as a partnership before, but it is. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. This is the birth of Jesus. I know it's summer, it's June, but listen, we're going to go back to the birth of Jesus here for a second. Is that okay?
Yes.
And in Luke chapter 2, this is the whole story of what happened when he was born. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Pay attention to swaddling clothes. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they had made known abroad, saying, Which was told them concerning this child." Now, when you look at that thing, you need to understand some things here. This is a partnership that just happened. You may not seem like a partnership, but it's a partnership that has just happened. These are not ordinary shepherds. These are not your run-of-the-mill shepherds in the Negev somewhere. These are special shepherds. They're Levites. And they raise the Passover lambs. And so when that phrase, swaddling clothes, was said, they knew exactly where to go find him. It's the tower, the Migdal, the tower where the shepherds take care of the Passover lambs. And so when they heard swaddling clothes from the angels just got them to partner with Mary and Joseph, didn't they, to go see this thing. So they went, being Levitical shepherds, they knew exactly where to go. They went to that tower to see him in a manger with the swaddling clothes. That's their job. Their job is to take care of the Passover lamb. Remember, the Passover lambs could have no blemish, right? And so they would wrap them in swaddling clothes. It was a picture. Now, let's go over and let's look at this again now, a different partnership in Matthew chapter 2, if you would. Because there's a lot of places you could go in the night out there. But when they said swaddling clothes, they knew where to go. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, what he does is he's going to gather everybody. He's troubled. Why is he troubled? You ever wonder that? Well, there's a few things that I'll tell you about Herod in just a second. First of all, he's paranoid. He's not supposed to be on the throne. He's not of the lineage in the house of David. He is a puppet for Rome. And I'll tell you some more about him in just a moment. Let's go to verse 4. "When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Messiah, where Christ, should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod," look what he does in verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time," when did the star appear? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the, now pay attention here, young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard that the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where he was, where the young child was. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not the same place. They've already moved. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they were, when they were come, now pay attention to the verses again. And when they were come into the house. Okay. Now he wasn't born in a house. There was no room for him in the inn. They've moved. When they came into the house, they saw the young child, pay attention to that, with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened up their treasures, plural, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Okay. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Okay. A lot of things happening here. These are not just three guys on three camels. They came from the east. A lot of things I told you to pay attention to, the wording in that. They're called the Magi. The Magi were kingmakers. The Magi, Daniel, when they went into exile, Daniel was one of the Magi. He taught them about the Messiah. He taught them about the Son of God would come and restore everything. He would be the king over Israel. And so that's been part of the Magi teaching since day one. And when they saw the star, then signs in the heavens. Come on. We've seen signs in the heavens. Not saying that he's coming now, but saying, get ready. Pay attention. Notice what's happening. So the Greeks and the Romans were terrified of the people from the east. In the, what we call the intertestamental period, the time period between Malachi and Matthew. There's a period of about 400 years right there that a lot of history happened, but nothing is written a lot in our Bible in that period. We call those sometimes dark years. Malachi ends that and doesn't come again until we get to the book of Matthew. Now, in that time period, a lot of things happened. There were battles that happened. Alexander the Great will conquer and other kings will come. Cleopatra and Mark Antony, all of that stuff happens in that 400 years. One common language now, Greek, is there. And so when you begin to look at this thing, those are the armies that Israel had been taken over for with Babylon and Assyria. And so there's this little buffer zone of land called Israel, Judea, and Samaria. And that little bitty strip of land stands between the Greeks, the Roman Empire, and the East. Isn't that interesting? That one little bitty piece of land to this day, that one little bitty piece of land. Why? Because God put his hand on it, and God said it's the apple of his eye, and God said to Abraham, go to the place I'll show you. That's it. That's why, and the Messiah is going to come there, and he's going to rule and reign from there. And so that one little bitty piece of land is not because of Palestinians or anything other thing that we see in the news today. It's because God placed his name there. God placed his hand there. And that one little bitty piece of land, even back then, was a buffer zone. And so you get this guy named Antiochus Epiphanes who comes in and he takes over the temple and he sets up worship to the gods and he does a sacrifice on the altar of God. He offers a pig on the altar of God. The temple has to be cleansed. A guy raises up during that time named Judah Maccabee and a band partner together and they run him out. And so now you got the Jews, but they need a temple cleansed again. And so they have enough oil in the lamp for one night and they need more, they need to make more, but one night's not going to make it. and they partner together. And what happens is we have the 8 nights that that thing burned. Well, that's what became Hanukkah. It's the rededication of the temple. And so you'll see in the book of John, John chapter 10, where it says in the winter at the feast of dedication, Jesus went to Jerusalem. I'm paraphrasing that. Well, that's Hanukkah. Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not a replacement for Christmas. It existed before. It was the rededication ceremony. Jesus celebrated it. We've got it written in our scripture. And so it's the festival of lights. We've talked about it on this broadcast. It's the festival of light, where one servant light will light the rest of the lights. Now, Jesus came as the light of the world. So all of that period happened in that 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. And so now, knowing that history, Herod was a paranoid dude. He built fortresses and stuff all over Israel. You can go see the ruins of them today, Masada being one of them. Herod had his own family members killed because he thought they were going to take over. So he kills them. So a bad guy. And he knows what he's doing when he says, well, you go find him and tell me where he is and I'll go worship him. No, he wants to find, when did you see the star? So that begins to tell him they had to make a caravan trip over there. Okay, so 3 Assyrian Babylonian magi are not going to come on 3 camels to enemy territory because Israel is occupied by Rome. They show up with a host. Huge amount of camels and horses and things. Not just one little gold coin, a lot of gold, a lot of frankincense, a lot of myrrh. There would have been rugs. There would have been Persian rugs in that. There would have been all kind of treasure in that. And it would have been a huge caravan. They would have had a whole, I don't know, garrison or group of security with them traveling across the desert. There's a couple of ways you could go to make that trip. You could take the northern route and down through Mount Hermon and down, or you could have gone the other way south. Whatever way they went a different way than the way they came. So it's interesting that Jesus is going to be sent to Egypt. Why in the world would he be sent to Egypt? Well, we had a king kill babies before, Pharaoh. Everything Jesus did in scripture, class, understand this, he's fulfilling something that had happened before. He came to fulfill. And so he's fulfilling what happened with Moses. He's also fulfilling when Isaac was going to go to Egypt and God told Isaac not to do that. He's a type and shadow of Jesus as well. So this vast army of these people from the east come in and it shook Jerusalem. Is this another invasion? Is there going to be a war between the Romans and this group of people? And in so doing, this is why he becomes paranoid and it scared him. And he will kill anybody that threatens his position. Now, I'm going to show you something. I told you to pay attention to that word. Let's look again in where we at? Matthew 2, right? Look at verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the, and the word says young child. Do you see that?
Yes.
Paideion in Greek. This is a weaned child, all right? This is a toddler. So Jesus is probably around 2 years old. They're not still in the manger scene. They went back, this is probably Nazareth. They went back to Nazareth. And these guys then leave Jerusalem and headed toward Bethlehem and head straight up and they go to his hometown where he's at because the star moved and showed them. And so they show up. Now imagine the scene. He's probably 2 around there. How do we know that? Because Herod killed all the babies. How old?
2
and under. She may be pregnant with James or someone else or one of his sisters. And they began to offload treasures and they worshiped him. And if you read the original Greek, the connotation, he goes, they were blowing kisses at him. They saw him. Here's the one that Daniel prophesied to us about. And they arrived with this heavily armed force and they began unloading the caravan. Everything that was on the caravan, all of the gold and the rugs and the frankincense and the myrrh and all the treasures of the East are being brought to him. Now, that's the way they came out of Egypt, isn't it? So here's the thing. This is in Nazareth, and they've come to his house, and they present the treasures. The servants carry them in. Imagine what Joseph and Mary thought watching all of this moving van, if you will, of stuff coming into their house for this child. And here he is toddling around looking at them, probably speaking a little bit here. And they came, and they're worshiping him. They partnered with the family. They partnered with Daniel and Daniel's prophecies. Daniel's partnership from hundreds of years before is now being fulfilled. See how long partnership can be? Yes. Daniel teaching them, look what happened. Now here's the partnership aspect of that thing. They have to go to Egypt, meaning Joseph has to walk away from his business. They have to walk away from their home. They don't know how long they're going. How are we going to pay for this trip? They paid for this trip because all the people from Daniel's day brought all the treasures to him. And if you want to picture this, look at Solomon and the queen from Ethiopia, Queen Sheba. She was overcome by the wealth of Solomon. She fainted and overwhelmed by it. There was so much stuff. That's what happened that day in Nazareth. There's so much stuff. They were able, that funded the entire trip. That funded them in Egypt. Joseph didn't, praise God, Joseph didn't have to go find a second job in Egypt. The entire trip was paid for by partnership. Wow.
Praise God.
By a partnership spoken of by Daniel long before Jesus was ever born. But his word and his partnership in that kingdom provided for the safe passage of Jesus. Do you see the power of partnership? Long after you and I are gone, that partnership still continues. The blessing, I said the blessing still goes in my family. I said my children's children. Think about it now for a second. Leaves a wise man leaves an inheritance to what? His children's children and generation after generation. That's exactly what Daniel had just done. Daniel was taken by force into Babylon, but his partnership there, teaching them that, will provide for the Messiah. Listen, all the things that have happened to you, you are leaving an inheritance. You're leaving a faith inheritance. You're leaving a blessing inheritance. You're leaving a covenant inheritance to your children and your children's children. You and your household shall be saved. Every seed you have sown is now at work, not only for you, but for the future generations, should the Lord tarry his coming. That's something to praise him about. Partnership. And the victory of it, don't go away. We'll be back in just a minute. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Get the Power of Covenant and Partnership Package, a book called God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stevens, and a mini book by Kenneth Copeland called Partnership and Power, Making the Connection, and learn about this God-ordained source of blessing and power. Through covenant in Jesus, everything he has is yours. In the same way, when believers partner together, we share in each other's giftings. From marriage and family to business to ministry, learn to receive by faith the blessing and anointing that comes through covenant partnership. Dive into these special resources and begin receiving those benefits today. Order the Power of Covenant and Partnership Package for only $21.99 on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Shipping charges may apply.
I'm George Pearsons. I'm pastor of Eagle Mountain International Church, CEO of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and a longtime partner with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. That partnership is so important to me and to my wife. As partners, we've been partakers of the grace that has been upon Kenneth and Gloria, the anointing upon them. And it's been really interesting through the years as we walk together in the Word of God, we've seen the power of partnership work on our behalf. Now, another great thing about partnership is that we are connected to everything that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is doing around the world. Whether it's through KCM or Eagle Mountain International Church, KCBC, or the Victory Channel, or any of our global offices, we know that as a partner, we're reaching out with our finances, we're reaching out with our prayers, and people's lives are being changed. I think that's the most important part about that, knowing that people's lives all over the world are being changed by the Word of God, taking people from the milk of the Word to the meat, from religion to reality, and people knowing who they are in Christ. I want to invite you today to become a partner with us in this tremendous work that's taking place. Become a team member, and just know that this is a two-way street. We pray for you, you pray for us, and together, we are reaching the world with the Word of God. Go to KCM/partner to become a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and we know that it's going to change your life. It will change ours.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's Word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
Amen. Do you realize that every blessing you've ever received is because somebody partnered before you? Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. As a partner, you'll never be a day without prayer because Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and this ministry pray for you every day. I've seen it with my own eyes. We also have a prayer line you can call, and you can call that anytime you want. Whatever you may be facing, call us. Get into agreement with God's Word for your breakthrough. Our prayer ministers are licensed and they are trained in the Word of God to pray in faith with you. Listen, they're going to pray the Bible with you, all right? And they're going to say, I think this. No, they're going to pray the Word. Take hold of the covenant promises they pray over you. Make God's Word the final authority in your life. Before we go today, I want to say thank you to the partners of this ministry. It's because of your support and partnership that we have prayer lines available. It's one of the ways together we're ministering the uncompromised word of faith from the top to the bottom, all the way around the middle of the world. Thank you for being a part. Know this, God loves you, and we love you, and what? Jesus is Lord. We'll see you tomorrow. Praise God.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.